Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Get your Bibles, go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews, the first chapter. We're going to stay in verse number 3. We've been there for quite a while, but I'm going to read you the verse. And I want to talk to you today about something that's very important that most Christians have never seen before. So you might learn something today, so I want you to pay attention. That's going to change your whole life. I'm going to give you two words today that say something about you. Who you are and what God expects from you and what this is really all about. Can you imagine this whole Bible? Two words today we're going to understand when we walk out of this place that we didn't understand before. I'm not going to give you the title of the message just yet. I'm going to read the verses to you, or read a verse to you out of Hebrews, the first chapter, verse number 3. And you'll see the two words there. They are amazing. Of course, for all of you to remember, this is talking about Jesus. How great Jesus is, how wonderful he is, how he's beyond the high priest of Israel, how he's beyond the angels of heaven. How is beyond Moses, he's beyond anything and everything. He is the preeminent Christ, the Messiah. And as we understand these principles, we understand them in the context that it relates specifically and directly with you. And today's message is about you as we see Jesus. And I want you to take a look at it with me, if you will. Let me read you, and then I'll give you the title. You'll be able to understand what I'm saying. Who being, verse number 3, in the brightness of his glory, in the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, that when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Two words, sat down, that means so much to you and so much to me. But yet most people that call themselves Christians, when they read this verse, will read right through it and never understand the fullness of what's being said by two words in there that relates to your life, sat down. What in the world could that possibly mean to you? That Jesus, the Son of God, the only one that is the Son of God, sat down at majesty on high. What in the world could that possibly mean? In order for you to understand this, let me take you back in your thinking to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you'll remember that the activities of the Old Testament are often expressions of that which takes place spiritually in the New Testament. And when you see Israel acting physically a certain way, they were acting physically a certain way because they were describing something of the Father and the plan of the Father through their actions. And then spiritually, we'll see the concept of it, and we'll see the application of it in the New Testament. And as I take you back into the Old Testament, I want to take you back into a time when once a year, the high priest of Israel would go into the temple. And inside the temple, there was this room inside called the Holy of Holies. There was an outer court where most anybody could operate in and do things in. But yet at the Holy of Holies, no one was allowed to go in the Holy of Holies except the high priest. The high priest himself had to be cleansed. He had to be right with God. He couldn't have sin in his life. He couldn't be a fool and a foolish man that just took this for granted as if it was not important, but he had to literally be right with God. Sanctified in such a way that when he went into the Holy of Holies to do the atonement for all of the sins of Israel, if he wasn't right with God, bang, he would die on the spot. When he came out of the Holy of Holies after bringing forth the atonement for the sins of Israel, everybody would cheer and have a party because they knew they were going to get blessed for the next year. But if he went in and died, they knew there was something wrong and they were going to have a problem. Now the problem starts off right off the bat. I don't know about you, but I certainly wouldn't want that kind of a job. That if I walked into the Holy of Holies and I wasn't right, bang, I die. And he's trying to tell us that you and I, if we go into the Holy of Holies or tried to get into the Holy of Holies with our sins, we would not exist. And that's the purpose of Jesus, is he came and he washed us clean so that we can approach and have a relationship with the Father God. That's such an amazing analogy and such an amazing understanding in itself. But there was a problem in the Old Testament. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, if he died in there, no one could go in to get him out because he would be killed also. Because it's only the high priest that could go in. So here's how it worked. They would take a rope, and they would take this rope and they would tie it around the ankle of the high priest in such a way that if he died in there, they could pull his body out of the Holy of Holies. In order to make sure that he wasn't dead, on his other foot, they would put bells, a little tingling bells. So every time he moved, it would jingle, 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 tang, ding, 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 ding. And when the tinging and the dinging of the little bells stopped, they would pull on the rope, and that would remind him, and he'd shake his leg, "I'm okay, I'm okay." There was a fear in the presence of God. Here was the fear. You didn't mess with God. And when they pulled on the rope and there wasn't a tingling of the little bells, they knew he was dead, and they would pull on the rope and pull his body out of the Holy of Holies. No priest ever sat down in the Holy of Holies. Ever. Because the job was never done. The atonement of the people continued constantly. And when the scripture comes along and says, "Your high priest, Jesus, is seated at the right hand of the Father or Majesty on high," they're saying something. The job is finished once and for all. And Jesus, for the first time in the history of this planet, is the high priest that sat, because the job was finished. What was finished was the purpose that he came for. What was finished was the redemption that he was going to pay for you. What was finished was the job of salvation, of justification, sanctification. That you now, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, have a high priest that's set, because the job is done. Two words, sat down. Because the job's finished. The purpose of him coming was complete. And we clap and we thank God for it. But the problem with it is, then why are we still so insecure? Why do we pray and don't know if he's going to answer our questions? Why do we live a life of doubting who God is? If we really know that he's set and the job is finished, then why do we act the way we act? Title of the message is finishing his purpose. He's finished the purpose for why he has come. All that is necessary, and the purpose is you. All that is important, all that needed to get done throughout the time of life that we know it on this planet, was finished with Jesus Christ. And until you and I have a confidence in that, we will always waver in who we are and what God has called us to. We will always wonder, is He going to answer our prayers? Have I done the right things that He cares enough that He will express Himself towards me? Can I really get blessed? Can I really go forward? Can I really do this and really do that? Until you know that your Lord and Savior, the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, who was beaten to a bloody mess and nailed to that cross, and on the third day raised from this earth to the heavens, and you'll find Him seated at the right hand of the Father, because the job and the purpose of why He has come has been complete. I'm telling you, it's one of the most exciting things that you could possibly ever imagine. The very last words of Jesus in John, the 19th chapter and verse number 30, says it like this. And so when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said three words: it's finished. It is finished. He's done what He came to do. He did what the Father would have Him to do. He went through what He needed to do, and it is finished. And until you and I come to a place and settle it in our lives, as we approach every day, that we have a high priest that is seated at the right hand of the Father, that means it's been finished on our behalf. We will never be, we'll never fulfill, we'll never have the destiny and fulfill the purpose that God would have us to fulfill. And saints of God, hear me now. You can be a Christian headed for heaven and still never accomplish anything while you're on the planet. You can be a Christian headed for heaven and never do anything, never fulfill anything, never complete anything. And yet God has a purpose for you as He had for Jesus. My goodness. Finished His purpose. He finished. Three things that we need to understand in finishing. Yes, salvation. Yes, He's justified us. And yes, the high courts of heaven have a gavel that has come down. Bang! And has proclaimed your innocence because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But may I say this to you? Most Christians live their life never understanding the fullness of what this really means. Three things He did when He finished His purpose. Everybody say the word purpose. Three things He did when He finished His purpose. Everybody say the word purpose. There's a purpose He was fulfilling. Let's check it out. Number one, He finished so that we could understand. If you don't understand anything, you'll never do anything. If you don't know His plan, you won't know where to go. If you don't know His will, you won't have an idea about what you should be. And you and I have got to come to a place where we realize that God wants us to understand the very mysteries of what took place at that time. And the mystery of Him sitting down, this high priest who has literally set us free. And if we don't understand this, how can we ever fulfill anything? How can you ever do a job, even the job that you're called to do every single day, 8 hours a day that you go to work for? How could you ever do that job if you don't know how to do the job and you don't understand how to do the job? Understanding is vitally important. And if you get out of the darkness and get in the light because you now understand. And when He went to the cross and died and is seated at the right hand of the Father, He made a way in His purpose for you and I to understand the plan and the will of God, so we don't have to stay ignorant any longer. We don't have to just go to church out of some token thing that we do. We don't have to be in a church and just listen to some organ concerto from the 1700s and get little Holy Ghost goosebumps and walk out and never accomplish the plan that God has for us. The reason why He sat at the right hand of the Father. Whew. He wants you and I to understand his plan and his will. In fact, go with me, if you will, into Ephesians, the first chapter. In Ephesians, the first chapter, it makes it very clear. The Word of God says it like this in verse number 9. Having made known to us the mysteries. Listen to this. Didn't keep you in the dark. Didn't say there's something you don't understand and can't understand. Can you imagine God saying, you're too stupid to understand, so therefore I can't tell you the depth of what I'm all about. My Bible says, having made known to us the mysteries of his will. Now watch these next words. According to his good pleasure. He had pleasure in making known to you, making you understand his plan and his will. And then he says, which is purposed in himself. And Jesus, when he sat down, fulfilled that purpose of making known. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so it's really the Spirit of God speaking to us today. As we read the Word of God, you're in Ephesians, the first chapter anyway. Go with me to Ephesians in the third chapter. When you get to Ephesians in the third chapter, check it out, starting in verse number 9. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God. We can not only know it, we can fellowship with the plan and the will of God. May I say this to you? If you're not fellowshipping with the plan and the will of God, you will live short as a Christian. And most people that attend American churches today live short as a Christian. And they don't fellowship with the plan and the will of God. Because why? They don't know it. They don't understand. To make all see, not some, what is the fellowship of the mystery, which was the beginning of ages, that has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. Verse number 10 comes along and makes this statement, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. According, verse number 11, to the eternal purpose, there's that word again, which he accomplished where? In Christ Jesus. And he sat down because that accomplishment and purpose was fulfilled. That's bizarre. When you stop and you think about what God is saying here, it's amazing. He had an eternal purpose to display and to tell you and to show you literally what the will and plan of God is, so that you might fellowship with this mystery that many of the years past, all of the saints, all of the people before us, all of the Old Testament saints didn't have a concept of, but you get it. That's amazing. You don't have to live in the darkness wondering. You don't have to live in the darkness not knowing. You don't have to live in the darkness without a purpose or without a direction, are without an insight on what God would have for you to do. We now get the understanding because our Lord and Savior, nailed to the cross, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, has completed the purpose. You have to want to know what that mystery is that's been hidden throughout the ages. And you got to put yourself in there to fellowship with his will in his plan, in order for you and I to fulfill the destiny that God has given us. The verse before that, it said, for the church to know to the principalities and powers, manifold wisdom of God. Whew. They're watching you and I, that the very plan and will of God through us would be revealed to them. Because they don't even know. But when he sat, it's complete. And most people don't have a concept of that. Thank God you do. We're talking about he finished. He finished his purpose. But when he finished so that we could understand. But when he finished so that we could, number two, begin. He had to finish so we could begin. He says, I've got to go, but I'll send to you the Holy Spirit who is your comforter. He will lead you into such truth. Sometimes we don't know that he sat so that we could stand. He sat so we could run. He sat so we could breathe. We sat so you and I could open our mouths. He sat so we could display the manifold wisdom of God to a lost and dying world. There's a purpose why you're on the planet. There's a destiny that only you can embrace and wrap your heart around. That you become someone who is entangled with the plan and will of God. And he had to finish so that we, the church, can begin. And when the church stops with him sitting, then the church has missed our part. Is anybody listening? Jesus says in John the 17th chapter, he not only talks about his relationship with the Father, but he also talks about his relationship with you and I in John the 17th chapter, that we might be one as he and the Father are one. But he says in verse number 4, pop it up, listen to these words. He says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work in which you have given me to do. And may I say this to you, that is exactly the same heartbeat you and I ought to have. God, I want to glorify you, Jesus, on this earth, and I want to finish the work that Jesus has for me to do. Paul is under pressure in Acts, the 26th chapter. Let me tell you a little story about Paul. He's done great things. He's brought the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, had a tremendous road to Damascus experience. And he went to the Gentiles and he's ministering to the Gentiles, and the Jews are still at arm's length against him. Finally, after 14 years, he goes down into Jerusalem. There in Jerusalem, there's the church. Some Jews, some believers, some saints, Christians, but Christian Jewish church. Jewish Christian church. And they hate his guts. And they want him dead. In fact, the Bible says that while he's there in Jerusalem, there's a certain group of them that rose up against him and so wanted him dead that they were fasting for 40 days until he was killed, waiting for someone to kill him. Can you imagine such rejection, heartache, and pain? If I felt like you didn't want me and you fasted for 40 days until someone killed me, I would just yell back at you, forget you, I'm out of here. But Paul stays in there. In fact, they want him so bad, they're accusing him of everything, and they bring him before the high courts of the land, and they want to kill him. And he proclaims that he's a Roman and has a right to speak to Caesar and be judged by Caesar. So instead of the Jews killing him, they have to go through the procedure, and he comes before King Agrippa. King Agrippa says to Paul, go ahead, say what you have to say on your defense. He says, thank you. And he starts to tell the story of what his life is all about, including the story of the road to Damascus experience where Jesus appeared to him. And from that moment on, you know, just after that, his name was Saul, but now it's been changed to Paul, the apostle. And he starts to explain this to Agrippa. In Acts, the 26th chapter, starting in verse 15, and so he said to King Agrippa that the Lord appeared to him, and he said to the Lord, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose. Now remember the word purpose. There's a purpose that Jesus has for all of us. And he says, I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things of which you have seen and the things of which you yet revealed to be revealed to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Verse 18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among who are sanctified by faith in me. And his job was clear. To open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God and to receive forgiveness and be in a spot of receiving inheritance. So here we are. He finished, sat down, his purpose, so we could begin our purpose. I don't know if you know that, what it means, but you're valuable to God. You may not think of yourself as valuable because you may not see yourself as smart. You may not see yourself as educated or financially fit. You may not see yourself as a leader. You may not see yourself as gifted. But according to my Bible, if you're born of the Spirit of God, there is an eternal purpose that God has when he brought his Son who sat down at the right hand of the Father, because there's a job he has for us, a purpose for us to do. And when he finished, we began. And if the church doesn't see that, the church will sit around in a stagnation of their mind and of their spirit and do nothing. Because deep down inside, we American Christians don't want to be bothered. But I'm here to bother you. Because we have a job that God would have for us, a purpose. Not only to understand, but he finished so that we might get going on what we're called to do. Wouldn't do any good if he finished and gave us understanding and then called us to do something and then we were constantly resisted and we never had the ability to do it. God would never call you to do something that you can't do. God will never tell you to do something without giving you the power to do it. It's not your power. It's not your gifting. It's not your insight. It's not your talent. It's not your anointing, but it's him. And God tells us to do something, and by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, there's nothing we can't accomplish. The Word of God makes it very clear that he that believes, nothing's impossible to him. And we can do all things, how? Through Christ, that what? Strengthens us. But what good is it if we are constantly stopped at every turn of the road? Constantly hindered at every turn of the road. So it brings us to number three. As he finished, listen to this, so that we can defeat the devil. He is already defeated, but he doesn't even know it, and he keeps trying to stop us. The Bible says the devil goes about like a roaring lion. He may roar a lot, but Jesus pulled his claws and pulled his teeth. And you and I have got to know it. And if we don't know that the fact that Jesus is sitting down and the devil is already defeated, we will let him plague us. We'll let him stop us. We will tolerate him robbing from us. He will ruin our marriages, ruin our children, ruin our finances, and ruin our jobs. He'll take away the blessings that God has. And we as a church let him, because we don't know that Jesus has already defeated him by his blood and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we tolerate much too much. Let me ask you something. How many of you would tolerate if you went home and You heard a knock at your front door. You open the door, a little wimp there, and he says, I want to tell you something. I'm coming into your house. I'm going to take what I want. Good news is I won't take everything. I'll just take some of it, but I'll leave you some so you can get by. But I'll take what I want. Most Christians would just probably let him in. But I don't think any of you would. You'd probably be like me. I would say something like, what'd you say? You step across the threshold, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. Then I'll pray for you later on. You're going to steal what from me? What right do you have anything from me? In fact, if you don't get away from my front door, I'm going to call the police on you. And you wouldn't let him come into your house. You wouldn't let him rob from you just so you could get by. You'd stop him and you know it. But we do it all the time. We tolerate the devil who's been defeated by Jesus. Now listen to these words. 1 John just popped up on the overhead. Verse number 3 says, he who sins is of the devil. In other words, he who continues to operate in sin is of the devil. If you continue it, you don't have regret over it, remorse over it, you don't feel something, man, you're not of God. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this, everybody say the next word. For this what? Purpose. The Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In Colossians, the second chapter, verse 14 says that he has wiped out the accusations against you. That everything the devil says, man, is a lie. And he nailed it to the cross. In verse 15, he says he's disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. The Bible says in Revelation that he's taken back the keys of the kingdom of hell and death. And he's given you the keys of the kingdom of God. And what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And yet, we tolerate the little wimp that wants to rob our joy, wants to depress us, rob our health, rob our marriages, rob our children, rob our jobs, rob our finances. Listen to this. Rob the position we are in Christ. So we think of ourselves as less than what God paid the price for when he sat. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of tolerating. I'm tired of letting him in my house. I'm tired of empty seats in my church. I'm tired of him robbing the souls of men and women that have come to this pulpit area that have gotten saved, tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. And they're not back here in church. Someone's robbed them. I'm tired of our city going down the trash hole. I'm tired of pimps running things and whores running things and drug addicts and gang members running things when the power on the planet is the one who sat. And I have declared war. There's no weapon on this planet that can defeat you and me. My Bible says, because he sat, that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. My Bible says, he has no rights. He has no authority. We can tell him, get out of our house. Get away from our children. Get away from our jobs. Get away from our health. Get away. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm washed by the blood. You're defeated, you devil. Go now in Jesus' mighty name. Go, 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 go. Or you can just let the little wimp in and play, let's make a deal. And he's a liar and will never keep his part of it. It's your call. It's your call. You have all that you need because he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And it's finished. You can know his will. You can follow his plan. You can begin anytime you decide to be what God's called you to be. Do what God would have you to do. You can defeat the devil at every turn of the road. What more does the church need? What more could God have given you and I? He not only fills us with his power, not only directs us with his word, but then he puts big mouth preachers in front of us that inspire us to be all that God called us to be. And the only reason you fail is because you choose to fail and let the little wimp in your house. Because the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. Your call. But you can't get away from the fact. The fact is, he's finished his purpose. We have to finish ours. You're going to keep tolerating that stuff? You're going to keep letting the flesh run you? Your refrigerator going to keep talking louder than the Holy Spirit on the inside? You're going to keep watching pornography? Keep doing drugs? Keep losing your temper? Keep flowing in the things of Satan when in fact the King is seated at the right hand of the Father? Today, we can change the world and certainly change the destiny of our homes and our families because he that came with a purpose has finished it and is seated at the right hand of the Father. If you got something from God today, you give him a great big praise the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Woo!
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.